Beloved congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ, in Psalm 90, Moses, writing that psalm, prayed that the Lord would teach us to number our days so that we would have a heart of wisdom, a heart of understanding. We all need that. That ought to be our prayer. All of us in here ought to be praying the prayer of Psalm 90, that we would live our lives with wisdom, with understanding, in how we approach all things. And it's God alone that can give us wisdom, so we must be people of the book. It never fails. At every point of the Christian life, it always goes back to the teaching of Scripture. Growing in the knowledge of the truth, growing in the knowledge of God, growing in an understanding of Jesus Christ, growing in the depths of the triune God, and understanding who He is and what He has done and what He continues to do for His people. You cannot learn that. You cannot grow an understanding apart from the teaching of Scripture. Now, this is not the be-all and end-all. It's point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't stop here. The Scripture speaks to us about God. It reveals to us who God is, His character, His work, what He has done in the past, and how He continues to minister to His people even in the future, even up to right now, even as we are in this worship service, this service of worship gathered to honor and glorify Him, and He walks among the candlesticks. So it ought to be our prayer to give me wisdom. Solomon said it's the principal thing, and all of your getting, get wisdom, get understanding. Know how to live your life, beloved. We are not to be like the world. We are not to be in this pandemonium. We are not to be a people that is running around crazy during these times of the sickness, the ill, whatever is going on. You've got to have a mind that is brought captive to the teaching of Scripture so as rational creatures you can behave as such. Now, that being said, you don't run yourself. I find on both ends of the spectrum, I find the extremes. I find those extremists who are isolating themselves right now and hunker down in a bunker and won't come out until somebody says, okay, the sun's shining. Then I see others that make a mockery of it. Well, to date, there have been 6,000 deaths. That's not something to be laughed at. People are dying from this virus. It's a quick spreading virus, spreads by coughing, sneezing, airborne virus. And so be wise. If you're sick, stay at home. That's loving your neighbor as yourself. Wash your hands. Don't shake hands during this time so that you're not passing things back and forth. Cover your mouth when you cough, when you sneeze. You understand the basics. But be wise in doing the things. To date, I wrote down the statistics, there were 162,386 cases of the coronavirus. Relatively small amount of people when you consider 8 billion people on the planet. But who knows how many more will be infected or are infected right now, and the symptoms haven't yet come out. 75,000 have recovered from it and 6,000 have died from it. This teaches us something. This didn't happen by chance. It's the Lord who has sent all of this stuff into this world as a consequence of man's sin. God punishes sin with more sin often. God lets men run headlong into these situations and destroys themselves. Drinks himself to death. Taking drugs. Heroin. Cocaine. Drunk driving. Sexually transmitted diseases. Rampant in our world. AIDS epidemic. You don't hear much about that anymore today. But it's still there. The Lord punishes sin with more sin. This natural evil, as it's called, the Lord brings that upon society and mankind. You don't hear much saying that either. Everybody's afraid. Somebody's going to say, do you mean this is a judgment? Absolutely, it's a judgment. It's a judgment upon the sin of man. It's the consequences of our sin. All sickness is a consequence of man's sin. Eliminate sin, there is no more sickness. There's no more heart attacks. There's no more cancer. There's no more influenza. There's no more common cold. There are no more of these things. Eliminate sin. Sin is the culprit. And you cannot extricate sin from man. That's who man is. He is a rebel in God's world. So the Lord chastens man in this way. This ought to teach every one of us our mortality. You know how many people die? I wrote some more statistics. 55 million people die each year. Do you think about that? 55 million people this year are going to die? That means 151,000 people die every day. 151,000 every day. 6,000 people die each hour. I mean, that's staggering. We had a Sunday school lesson from 9 to 10. 6,000 people died in that space of time. That translates to 105 people a minute, 2 per second. 2 people per second die. That ought to teach us something. We go around with blinders on. We go around with our head in the sand, thinking that it won't happen to us. And when it does, we lament, why did this happen to me? Has not the scriptures declared from Genesis to Revelation that man is but dust, that he is going to die, that his days are limited? The scriptures teach us this, beloved, and we need to have a heart of wisdom. You've only got so much time. Use your time with wisdom. Use your time profitably in the kingdom of Christ to serve Him. Not for your own pleasures. Some of you need to really hear this. It's not about you running all over God's creation, enjoying your pleasures. We are not our own. We are in this kingdom of Christ, in this world, to serve Him. Now, that being said, don't go out and saying that I said nobody can go on vacation. I didn't say that. But if your life is all about you and all about your pleasures, you're living as a fool. If your life is building up your little kingdom, your bank account, your portfolio, you're a fool. Now, I didn't say don't save, don't be a good steward, don't provide for your family. I didn't say that. If your preoccupation is only these things, you're a fool. You're living as one who has no faith in the Lord. You're like the man who said, you know what, take your ease. Build bigger barns, fill them up, and do nothing. You're a fool. Jesus said, your life will be required of you this day because you are not rich towards the things of God. People amassing so that they can have their pleasures. It's not about your pleasure. It doesn't matter what you think or say. It's not about you and your pleasures. It is about the glory of the Lord and serving in His kingdom. Your life is going to come to an end. And when it does, your lament is not going to be, oh, I wish I would have been a world traveler. You're going to be struggling with the assurance of your salvation. Because at that moment, it's the only thing that matters. Are you right with the Lord? Has Christ satisfied for your sins? Are you trusting in Him? Are you united to Him, both body and soul? Do you belong to Him? That is going to be the most important question of your life at that moment. You're not going to be concerned about your bank account. You're not going to be concerned about any of your material things, how much you got in your closet or in your refrigerator or in your cupboards. Your question is going to be, am I right with the Lord? So the scriptures teach us to number our days. David in Psalm 31 says, Lord, my time is in your hands. Time. Acts 17, God has appointed every man limits of his boundary, so he cannot pass beyond that. In other words, beloved, you have a certain amount of sand in your hourglass. It's been ticking all the time that this service has been going on. And when that last grain passes through, you're dead. And that last grain passes through, your service on this earth in the kingdom of Christ is over. When God's purpose with you is finished, you die. Not by chance, not by some whim, not out of the blue. God's purpose. So let us be wise as the people of God. Let us be wise as those who say, we believe the scriptures. To live according to it. To live, beloved, to live as though we did believe it. Let's live our lives that it demonstrates that we believe the promise of God. I understand why the world is in panic. I understand that. I don't understand why Christians are in panic, because we have a Heavenly Father who is our good shepherd, who has promised to provide for all of our needs, to care for us. And so the psalmist, David, here in Psalm 39, as you saw in Psalm 38, boy, he was going through some suffering. He was going through some spiritual and physical pain and suffering. And he was lamenting, and his cry was to the Lord. He was not, in his cry, he was not complaining about God. He was lamenting to God. He knew that God alone could restore him. Lord alone could bring him back to health. So he knew where to go. So he went, and he went, and he cried out to the Lord. He cried for that restoration. And notice what he says in verse 1 of Psalm 39. Isn't this our ways, that when we go through a time of struggle, a time of testing, a time of sickness, a time of difficulty, we've got to watch our mouth. Because as James 3 tells us, it's very easy to sin with your tongue, isn't it? And then have to go back afterwards and ask the Lord for forgiveness for our presumption, for our arrogance. Oh, I didn't mean it, Lord. Well, yeah, you did. That was in your heart. Jesus said, what comes out of the mouth is coming directly from the heart, and it reveals the man, what kind of a man he is. So David said, I got to put a muzzle on my mouth. I've got to guard what I say during these difficult times, lest I say something contrary to the Lord. Lest I misrepresent God. Lest I charge God with wrong. Job, the Lord gave, the Lord's taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this, Job did not charge God wrong or sin with his lips. He spoke rightly. So be careful. Be careful lest you sin with your tongue. Restrain your mouth. Be careful of what you say to other people when you go through a time of difficulty. He said, I was mute with silence, and I held my peace even from good. And my sorrow was stirred up, and my heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned, and then I spoke with my tongue. And notice when he speaks, what he speaks, and who he speaks to. He speaks to the Lord. It's a lamentation to the Lord. It's a crying out to the Lord. He says, Lord. And notice there's a comma there. There's going to be a pause. Lord. The Lord is being addressed. And David says, make me to know my end. God alone can make us to know our end. He alone can show us the frail life that we live. James said our life is surely a vapor. Now, last week we saw the fog that came in. It is pretty amazing. When the fog comes in, it can be very thick. And then the sun comes up. And then the heat of the sun starts to melt away all of the fog. And you look out there at 8 o'clock and it's foggy, and you look out there at 9:30. Well, where did it go? That's man's life. Even man at his best state. So make me to know my end. How does the Lord make us to know our end? Teach us. That's what it is. It's teaching. The Lord is teaching us. That'd be the first point. The Lord is the one who teaches us. How does he teach us? He teaches us through the Word. He speaks to us. You parents, how do you teach your children? You speak to them. You instruct them in this way. Children, how do you learn? You learn as your parents instruct you, as they teach you. And it's not by what I do teaches them. It has to be interpreted. You tell your children why you do what you do. And children are good at asking those why questions. And that's how they learn. Teach them, instruct them. Why do we do this, Dad? Why do we do this, Mom? Why do we worship this way? Why do we go to worship with the church? Why do we read the Bible? Why do we pray? Why are we sinful? Why do I lie? Why am I nasty at times? Why do I treat my siblings that way? Tell them. Instruct them. Instruct them from the teaching of Scripture. That's being wise. That's walking in understanding and wisdom, is teaching them what God says in the Word. If you don't teach them, the world will, and it will teach them a false philosophy. Then you'll have little Pharisees on your hands. It's not my fault. You know anybody like that? It's not my fault. Who did it? Not me. Wasn't my fault. It's everybody else's fault. So you teach them no responsibility. When you don't instruct them from the Word, you teach your children no responsibility for their actions. God holds us responsible. So this is the first thing that David is saying here. Lord, make me to know my end. Now I'm sure as David was sick and he was struggling, he was going through difficulty, he must have been wondering that. Is my time coming up? Is my exit coming up here quickly? Am I going to check out of this life? Is this going to be it for me? Am I going to recover from this sickness? Lord, make me to know my end. That my life is fragile. What is the measure of my days? We all have a measure of days. You think about things, and we measure everything. We have a system of measurement. Weights and measures. We have a standard for all things. So we measure. And David is asking, what's the measure of my days? What's the length of my days? How long will I live? Well, when we say if somebody died in their 30s or 40s, maybe even in their 50s, they died relatively young. That's not how the world says it. The world says they died too young. Well, you've missed the standard. The standard is God's standard. It's God's standard of time. It's God's standard of your lifespan. The measurement of your life. Not what everybody else thinks. David wanted to know that. He wanted to be taught that his life and the scale of things is relatively quick. Short. It's brief. He wasn't asking, show me, am I going to have 10 more years? Am I going to have 20 more years? You'd go out and commit suicide if God showed you the things happening in your life. He gives us the grace at the time that we need it to endure the difficulties that he brings upon us. David wanted to know something. How frail, how fragile that he is. Like fine china. It looks good for a time and it gets bumped off of the counter and it shatters into hundreds of pieces. That's how man is. Even in his best state, it's like a passing pageant, isn't it? The contestants come walking through and they keep walking through in one door and out the other. And it is that quick. Day after day, moment after moment. passing pageant. That's how man is. Do you know, beloved, how frail you are? You know, God's rod of sickness really can teach us. Really can teach you how frail and fragile you are. About how one virus penetrating the myelin sheath that covers your voice box can take your voice out of commission for months. One little virus. One wrong turn can put you flat on your back for weeks. And then have great pains after that. One little sickness can take your breath. And we've seen it. Some of us have had it. And really, that tool, that rod of God that's used at those times really teaches us, doesn't it? It teaches us your frailty. And as you keep looking in the mirror and the hair keeps getting grayer, and you're not as tall as you used to be, that's the vanity of youth, you know? I'm going to be this way all my life. Keep living. Keep living. At your peak, you're 6 foot, 6 foot one. 10 years after that, you're about 6 foot. 10 years after that, you're about 5'10" and a half. Why? Because of the promise of Scripture. That the outward man is perishing day by day. The inward man is being renewed moment by moment. Is it with you? Is it being renewed? Are you in the Word? It's the Spirit of God working upon you, conforming you, fashioning you into the image of Jesus Christ by the glory of the Lord as you behold Him as in a mirror. As you come to the Word and you see Christ, is that more and more being reflected in you and therefore it's seen in the way that you live your life? Are you being renewed day by day? Because to tell you a truism, your body is falling to the earth day by day. You're perishing day by day. You are coming to an end. How's the inward man? How's the soul? We put so much stock into the body that we neglect the soul. Now, I'm not advocating that we put all everything into the emphasis of the soul and we neglect our body. That's not walking by faith either. We are body and soul. But the body is going to die. So bodily exercise profits a little. Godliness is profitable unto all things. So you've got a choice. You can only choose one. Go out and run a couple of miles today, do my gym exercises, or read the Bible and pray. Hands down, 95% of those who profess to be Christians will run their 2 miles and do their exercises and neglect their soul. And that's why the church is in the state that it's in today. It's impotent in this world. It's almost irrelevant in this world. It's a great opportunity right now to preach the gospel. Where the world is in pandemonium. The world is in a panic, in an uproar. Doesn't know what to do. And we proclaim the gospel of our sovereign God who rules over all. And that the worst thing that can happen to an individual is not dying, but dying apart from Christ. If you die apart from Christ, you descend into hell forever. And the just judgment of God is upon you, and He is meting out that punishment upon you forever and ever and ever. And the way of escape is Christ. Run to Him. Flee while you still have time. No other hope. What hope does the world give you? The world gives you no hope. There is no hope in the world. Christ is our hope. He's our only hope. He is the only hope of eternal life, of forgiveness, of reconciliation with God. Christ and Christ alone. Come what may. The body is going to be diseased. It is going to be given in to some sickness at some point in your life. But is your soul being renewed? Indeed, you have made my days as hand breaths. Look up here. My thumb to my pinky, that's a hand breath. My time, my days are as hand breaths. Pretty short time. from here to there. And then you're done. My age is nothing before you. With the Lord, a day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years, this is a day. He's the Ancient of Day. What is 100 years? What's 900 years? What's 969 years, Methuselah? What's that before the Lord, the Ancient of Days? Our time, beloved, is short. Are you serving in the kingdom? Are you walking by faith? Are you telling others about the saving mercy of God in Jesus Christ? Are you serving in His kingdom for His glory? Are you stirring one another up in love and good works? Are you trusting the promises of God? Are you laying hold of eternal life in Jesus Christ? Are you doing that, beloved? It's what the Lord calls us to. Keep on trusting. Keep on running that race that's set before you. Keep on looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith. Keep your eyes focused upon Him so you don't become weary and discouraged in the running of the race. Keep looking to Him, even in the time when the world seems like it's falling apart, where there's the lockdowns and the quarantines and all the things that are going on in this world. Keep walking by faith in the Savior who has redeemed us, who has rescued us, who has promised us, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. David says, along with James, and James clearly draws this allusion from the Psalms right here. Every man at his best state is but vapor. No need to go into that any more than the fog. It's a moment, and then it's gone. You go down to the ocean, there's a mist, and it's gone. You've got the tea kettle going, and you've got the steam coming up there, and it comes up, and it's gone. Man's life at his best state, at his most healthy state, is cut down. He's but a vapor. And then he says, Selah. Selah is like a metrical pause. It causes you to stop and think about it. We don't do this. We don't do this enough. We don't meditate upon God's word. Think about this, beloved. Your most healthy state, your best state, you're a vapor. When you have the most vigor, the most energy, the most strength, you're a vapor. You're here today and gone tomorrow. You're nothing before God. Think about that. So then you're not boasting in your vanity of your health and your fitness and how strong I am. You're nothing. You can't run as fast as a horse. You can't outdo the strength of an elephant. You can't swim like a gator. He's nothing. So David says, surely every man walks about like a shadow. You know the shadow? You walk and there it is. Here's my shadow. I see it right here. And then it's gone. One turn and the shadow shifts and it is gone. Man is like a shadow. The sun comes up. It gets right on top. The shadow disappears. So is man in that same way. But surely in vain they busy themselves. They get busy doing things and they forget all about the things that are most important. I'm not saying that working and laboring at your vocation is not important. It is important. God has called you to this. God has called you men to care for your families, to provide for your family. If you do not, you're worse than an unbeliever. Provide for your families. But don't get so distracted in the temporal things that you miss the eternal. Because the things that are seen are temporary. The things that are not seen, these things are eternal. Don't be so distracted with the vanity of this life. The glitz and all the glamour and all the show and pomp of this world. Because it's coming to an end. Feed, nourish, build up your soul. He heaps up riches and he doesn't know who will gather them. That was Solomon's lament. Amazing. He worked so hard to gather up so many things, and his question was, what idiot is going to get all my things? Jesus said that your life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. Did you hear that? Your life does not consist in the abundance of your possessions. If you think that your life consists in the abundance of possessions, here's you, running around, frantically busying themselves in vain, heaping up riches, and lamenting about who's going to get my stuff. David says, what do I wait for? That my life is a shadow, it's a handbreadth, it's a vapor. It's nothing before God. What do I wait for? And David says this, my hope is in you. My hope, my confident expectation, my trust is in God. The Lord has said, beloved, that nothing will ever separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. The Lord has said, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. The Lord has said, all things are working together for good to those who love Him, to those who are the called according to His purpose. The Lord is our strength. He is our strong tower. He is our hiding place, our fortress, our pavilion. Those are the righteous that flee to Him, the proverb says. The righteous run into Him and they are safe. In these times where the world is in a panic, stay calm. Speak the truth. Be faithful to declare Christ at a time when the world is in a panic. Great opportunity. The church ordinarily misses all of these opportunities. Most of the time, missing the opportunity because we make a mockery of the things. When it's the opportunity to proclaim the gospel, people don't know what they're going to do, where they're going to be, what's going to happen to me. There is a Savior. There is a God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that upholds all things in this world. We are in His hands. Run to Him and find comfort and peace and joy and forgiveness. So you're not all caught up with the ways of the world and running headlong into destruction. Your life is short. Don't let it be a vain life. Don't let it be a life of futility. Think about your life, beloved. Think about how you're living your life. Think about your days. For most of us in here, not all of us, but most of us, you've got more in your rearview mirror than you do in your windshield. And that's a fact. Make your days for the service of Christ and His kingdom and your family and the church family and your neighborhood. Make it count. You can't get it back. You can't put the sand back in the top of the hourglass. Once it falls through, it's done. So go forward and realize that your life is quick, it's short, and labor for the glory of God. May God be glorified in the church as the church takes seriously these opportunities to go out and proclaim salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Shall we?